Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
My name's Angus.
Angus Fleck.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way.
No, it's Affleck.
What's up? This is the Hey Fam. And
man, you know what you're getting into. You see the Hey Fam boys rolling that feed. You know you're getting nothing but grade A. We're the Wagyu steaks of podcasts. Everyone else is on. No, we're Kobe beef.
Uh-huh.
Everyone else is Wagyu. It's like champagne.
So everyone else is still pretty good, but
it's pretty good, but we're like, you got to be at Hey Fam Studios to get a Hey Fam take. You know what I mean? Like, there's other people who will imitate
our
takes.
Even bigger than that is the Hida beef from the Takayama region.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that what we are? Is that PayFam episodes?
Yeah, I guess so. That's like the cows that they only eat a particular thing.
I know the ones in Kobe, there's like those rumors how they like are fed a form of alcohol and massage on the butt to create the marble. Which is kind of
live that life.
Well,
bro.
That's what we do. We
getting
sit
drunk
here,
and getting a butt massage.
That's what we do.
And then getting eaten by the rich.
That's what this podcast is audible on an audible level. It's like getting your ass massaged while being drunk. And that's what we aim to do every episode. So much so that we do two a week, which science has said you have gone too far.
Yeah. And actually, no, that is a good thing to bring up. We record two episodes of Hey Fam every single week.
Yeah.
2 hours of Hey Fam every single week. So sometimes that will mean that we'll talk
crazy
about a bunch of things that we watched in the first episode, and then the second episode will be a bunch of things that we played. The first episode goes in the free feed, the second episode goes in the paid feed, which we call Pay Fam. But sometimes, every now and then,
sometimes you come across a topic that can only be covered 1 hour would just be it would be doing everybody a disservice. You,
yep.
Myself, Levins. The thing we're talking about, no one walks away well good that in that instance.
So here's your warning, everybody. If you should you choose to listen to the next episode for free and then abruptly get told, if you want to hear the rest of this conversation, you got to cough it up.
Yeah.
Pay us hear the rest of this conversation. Don't go and complain.
We've heard it all before.
On your iTunes review service of choice.
Do they do that?
Oh, yeah. People hate people like now. Like,
check reviews.
The last like 10 reviews I've gotten are people like, don't buy into their scam.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Sick. That's so awesome.
We've done it like 4 times. Whenever there's a big movie that comes out that we want to talk
tentpole
about.
Tentpole releases, let's be honest.
Yeah. You're still getting an hour for free, but the second hour is going to be paid for. And ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I think they're the US ones.
Australian ones love us.
Listen up, we are
beloved
super freaks.
hometown heroes.
Nothing but 5 stars. The only non-star we got was, maybe that's an off-mic discussion. Is that the pod-to-pod?
Oh, yeah.
Saga, did that cause us to lose 1/2 star?
It's possible.
Yeah. I mean,
we earned it. That's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take 1/2 star off.
If you want to learn more of that, you can definitely check out.
What you guys do on the podcast this year? Just destroy the lives.
We got destroyed first.
Yeah.
But no one heard.
But it was like getting destroyed in a darts contest by a blind kid.
There was no chance.
So then we destroyed them like a deaf kid in a piano contest being Mozart. He was a genius. No one knew. Could hear it all. I think he put his head on the floor.
So this is actually
Mozart or Beethoven.
We're going to be talking about Mozart for 2 hours for anyone that was wondering.
What's his name again? I know it's Wolfgang. Which one's
Ludwig?
Ludwig van.
No, it's Mozart. No, that's Ludwig, Ludwig Beethoven.
Amadeus Mozart.
Is it?
Amadeus Wolfgang Mozart, I think.
Okay. That's so good if that's not his name and you just like.
No, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I've got it back to front.
Wow, he's done it, everybody. I got Wolfgang Amadeus.
Yeah, because of that movie, Amadeus, and the French album by Phoenix, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Everyone thinks they were born around the same time. You know, like Mozart learnt because he listened to Beethoven, I think, who was like a classical musician to him.
This is a Joker episode, by the way.
The jokes? Who's the joke on now?
Angus has a condition that he can't help but talk about classical.
No, I got it wrong. They were contemporaries.
Classical musicians. They were contemporaries.
Quick one for you.
He just handed me a card saying he can't help this.
Where was Mozart born? what's his like?
France?
Austria. Another second one for you. Where was Beethoven born? Who is Ludwig? So that was your answer.
Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
You are really good at that.
I'm 50-50.
You're good
50.
At guessing Eastern European countries.
So we saw Joker. I'm sure this is like the last.
Like 90% of the podcast would have listened to it by now. I mean, seen it as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to do two episodes about Joker. Not just the movie, but I guess the character of the Joker.
Just we're going to be doing two episodes on
truly twisted episodes.
Just twisted shit. Yeah. We're going to be covering societies. We're going to be covering twistedness. We're going to be covering
scars.
The perfect sans font to get damage tattooed on any part of your body.
That's
though
perfect. Particularly
I think by the end of listening to these two, you're going to all be agreeing with us when we say it's the forehead. Foreskin. Imagine getting damaged on
getting
my foreskin.
Getting a damaged tattoo on your foreskin and then getting circumcised.
That's top tier. Okay, if someone pays $2,000
to the Patreon. For how many days?
I will get damaged tattooed on my foreskin.
And then get circumcised?
And then bleach it like full on chemicals to make it white. And put lipstick on it every day. And dye my pubes green. Imagine that, green pubes,
yep.
White dick, little like red lipstick at the end, and then damaged it.
When I worked at Modular,
yeah,
years ago, they did a Subi thing, and it was like
a penis calendar. Great.
And it was like photos of all of like the Bang Gang guys and like the label
just
heads for Modular
out.
And guys from Copies, like dicks.
Like legitimately.
And they didn't say whose dick it was, but like, you know, like, oh, there's
somebody
only,
knows.
There's only one guy in the Bang Gang with red hair, so.
Yeah, it must be Gus.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody knows.
But like, it would be like their dicks with like makeup and.
I hope this wasn't for charity. I hope this was just for boys will be boys.
I don't think Subi did anything for charity. No. And then like a little.
Oh, they kept
tie.
A lot of drug dealers. They kept a lot of drug dealers off the streets.
That's true.
Yeah, it's Subi's owned by some super conglomerate now, so like whatever, you can't sue
us. Does it even exist?
Yeah, it's spelled with a B or something now. It's like Boruto. it's like the spin-off of Subi. Subi was the original Boruto. Used to be a K, right? Or it's a K now. No,
it
used to be
a
T. Now
Subi.
It's a B.
It was a jeans label slash all kinds of shit in Sydney many years ago. And then they had to change it because they got bought by someone else, but then they continued independently as K-Subi. So Kasubi, but
right.
Subi.
Yeah.
And now, yeah.
And
I
now
love that.
B-Subi.
That's
now
great.
Now it's Subi. And it's for all your Naruto Shippuden.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, they're the jeans to be, you put them on, you put your arms back and just start running like the wind.
So I've moved house this week. My house is a fucking mess. It's a new house that I moved into.
So you don't have to go back to the other one?
I spent all day today cleaning it.
Yeah, but you can't live
apartment.
There. Like, all the beds are gone.
Everything. Yeah. I slept last night, first night in my new house.
That's a sleep you'll never forget.
I wish I went to bed early, but after a full day of moving from my apartment to my new house.
Truly twisted.
Absolutely
stuff, yeah.
Destroyed. Physically and mentally, I thought, well...
You want to tip yourself over the edge?
Does it get any more perfect than booking...
I think you've actually done
booking
the best circumstances.
Booking a ticket alone to a 9:40 p.m. screening.
Were you patted down?
Of Joker.
In America, you would have been patted
down.
Dude,
I wouldn't have been let into the cinema. Did you see that with people putting like things up saying...
I don't know how real all that is.
Yeah.
I think all that's fake. It's created by the press.
Wait, you're saying there's such thing as fake news?
What I'm saying is that we live in a society. No. Let's try and do no society jokes.
As if you were going to last 10 minutes.
No, I'm fine. I'm done.
You've made two already.
I got them out of the way.
Okay, right.
I don't like the society jokes. It was funny when it was a meme and it just said... Like,
why did you make it twice already?
I wanted to get them out. Okay. I did one for you.
Okay, thank you.
But like, it was a good meme when there was a picture of Heath Ledger and it just said, we live in a society, because that was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like, just...
I like the one of Ross from Friends and it
says,
get a load of this society.
But
and,
like,
and also the Green Goblin, you know, I'm
something of society myself. Yeah. That's what it says.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, salute to the classics. You know, it's like going, yeah, Good Vibrations is a great song by the Beach Boys. Like, you've got to acknowledge that.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, I find them just pretty dumb. Like, I don't even think Heath Ledger says society in the movie. But
Joaquin Phoenix does.
Oh, but you'll have to listen to...
Yeah, so I saw I saw Joker last night, the new Todd Phillips joint, starring Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur Fleck, a.k.a. Call Me Joker.
Affleck.
You've seen it twice.
Yeah, so I had tickets to see it in 70 mil. And then before that, no, sorry. Then after that, invited to the screening, the Sydney screening.
Right, so, yeah, so you saw it opening on a regular bullshit digital screen.
Yeah, some
horse
shit.
You left your
shit.
Ruler at home.
Oh, they took it from me at the door.
They patted you down. They thought it was You've got a tape measure in your pocket.
Yeah, they nine men tackled me. But
then you saw the glorious 70 millimeter print.
Yeah, it looked
of
good.
This.
Oh, it looked amazing. Like, it looked beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, stunning. It's a stunning looking movie, I think.
And parts of it are, I think.
I think the whole movie looks stunning. It's a gorgeous looking film. And the 70
so begins what I think will be the tone of the episode.
And it's just like popping on that screen. The second screening was way more. Yeah, if you can see it on film, see it on film. It's like my advice for Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see that on film, watch that on film.
Yeah.
It makes a hell of a, not that much of a difference, but it does elevate it. And you are like very much aware that you're in a cinema.
So before we talk about this new movie, I want to talk about our relationship to the Joker.
We know him and he treats us both.
Yeah, he's my dad.
Yeah, Joker's his dad. No, that's not true.
But I want to know, when did you, do you remember, because I know there's a gorgeous photo of you when you were a kid.
Four
years old.
Yeah, obsessed with Batman.
But so much to the point that you weren't able to choose for the, was it your birthday or a different birthday?
It was my fourth birthday. I just think it was on the cusp of, so I can't remember what I saw first, a photo of Jack Nicholson as the Joker or the Cesar Romero's Joker in the Batman movie. They both, for me, happened at the same time because they re-released the 66 film when the Burton film was hitting cinemas.
Yeah, and it was on TV too.
Yeah, and I can't remember which is the first one I saw, though I do think, I remember there being like mad press, like no other, like probably since Star Wars for that movie, like where it was everywhere.
Yep.
Which obviously I wasn't around for Star Wars, but I just remember Batman being everywhere. So I have a feeling it was probably Jack Nicholson's Joker. And I was one of the, I think it was the first or second live action film I saw in cinemas. I don't count Roger Rabbit because that's half. And I think that was before, but it was.
You told everyone as you were entering the cinema. This
I said,
count.
By the way, this isn't a live action film, kids. It was three. But I think it was the first, or Ghostbusters 2. It's one of those two.
Right.
But Batman was one of them. And I was obsessed with Batman before seeing it because of just, I think, comics and the imagery and having Batman toys, Batman stuff. It was hard to not be not around Batman then, I think.
So in the photo, can you describe what you're wearing?
So I had a Batman themed party, which most of the photo of it adhered to. There's some Robins. Someone came as like a punk or something, which I guess upon reflection was... just that was like probably 4 years after Dark Knight Returns, so it's pretty on brand.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
so at the
yeah.
time I probably would have cried foul.
Yep.
But yeah, I am wearing
a... Did he say Slicer Dicer a lot?
Yeah, he did.
That's like Frank Miller weird fucking gang dialogue.
Frank Miller was raised by gangs, so he knows how gangs really speak. It's me wearing like Joker pants, like legit like purple Joker pants, striped pants, like a Joker shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But on the top I'm wearing Batman's cowl and cape.
So you're both. You couldn't commit.
I'm light side and dark to meet it.
You were the twisted and the twisty.
I just can't pick a side, and I think that, man, I think 200 whatever episodes we're into now. I think I haven't changed much since that
picture.
That's true. But yeah, I've always, and ever since then, besides a certain portrayal in a David Ayer film, I just have always loved that character, what he stands for. I like that character has morphed over time, much like Batman has, to suit the needs of the era. Sometimes not so much so. But, you know, I love that that role, what it also does. You know, I'm not an actor, but I imagine for an actor,
yet,
it is like a Lear. It is like a Macbeth. It is like a... I'm trying to think of...
A Santa Claus.
It is it's a role men and women vie to play. But yeah, you know, there seems to be so much freedom with that role to a degree of what you bring to it, what you get out of it. Hamill, Nicholson, Romero, Ledger, everyone has just like brought a spin to it and have their own iconicness for different reasons. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's like you do have to play a lot of characters that are known fictionally a certain way, I think, for the audience to get who you're playing. But the Joker seems to be like, if there are just a few signifiers and it's generally the green hair and makeup, you can do what you want to a degree.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I think that's something, I think like that's interesting because they're all valid interpretations. Like all Batman versions of Batman to me are like extremely valid. You can have corny Batman, angry Batman, fat alcoholic Ben Affleck Batman. All of them are as valid as a credit card Batman. I think that's the beauty of these characters. That, like, they're going to be played for a million more years. Until Disney buys DC in 6 years. And you're just going to be getting a series and series. But, you know, there are takes I hate. Do you remember that one? Is it Beware the Batman? Or The Batman? Where and it's like an ape?
Yeah,
Joker?
Yeah.
That one's fucked up.
There's character designs all over the show.
He's like a ripped wrestler or something.
Yeah.
That shit's that's ridiculous.
Not good. But, I mean, I think it's, you know, like, yeah. Like, I know you've said in the past that Joker is your favorite Batman character.
Not my favorite Batman.
Batman villain, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say so. I just think... And I think it's one that's been enhanced by cinema, whereas maybe some of the other characters haven't, where a lot of...
Yeah, no, definitely.
I think this character has just been elevated.
And justice, I mean, for Clayface.
Hey, he's going to get his due. I want Mad Hatter, baby.
Yeah.
Mad Hatter would be sick.
So many of my favorite Batman stories have Mad Hatter mind control shit in them.
Long Halloween? Ventriloquist.
Halloween? Yeah, I mean, like, he's just... I like... Bat villains that aren't necessarily the main villain in a story, like a Mad Hatter.
You like a side bitch.
I like it when there's
all
like
about.
There's like eight villains that all have intrinsic to this like long.
I like
story.
A villain to those villains.
Right. Yeah.
I like someone who's just like Johnny Cash said, another tie-in, walks the line.
Like my favorite Batman story is I'm exhausted. I can't remember. I'm not going to remember shit.
That's fine.
You're going to be like,
give me the gist.
It's the one that Dark Knight Rises took a lot of inspiration from.
No Man's Land.
No Man's Land. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Where Gotham gets like, there's a big earthquake.
The big earthquake, and then and Gotham is like pretty much
overrun.
Cut off from the rest of America.
It's like its own state. Yeah.
And it gets basically divided up and different villains.
They rule different sections and shit.
Yeah, and then the GCPD rules some of it.
Yeah.
It's such a great arc.
That's such a good run. That was like a year-long run, wasn't it? And it was all Bat family. There was like Batgirl. You know, it was in so many
Huntress,
different... Huntress.
Great. Oh, yeah? Where are you going with this?
I think we kind of went there with the bleached penis and the
tattoo. Yeah, sure. Okay.
I think we went there.
So for me, I got a viewfinder when I was a kid. You know, like,
Yeah.
It was like almost like little binoculars that you put up to your eye.
Yeah, and you drop in like a faux film canister thing.
It's like a little dial, and it has like stills from cartoons or
and
movies.
You'd have to use,
or it'd be like generic shit, like A Day at the Zoo.
Yeah,
and it'd be like pictures of animals.
Sometimes, like it'd be like
you
could read a book on it.
And I had one. It was a Batman animated series collection.
Oh wow!
And it was the Joker's Gone Wild.
The Bruce Tim one?
Yeah. The Joker's Wild. The Joker's Wild. It was that issue. That episode, sorry.
It like retold it over 30 frames or something?
Over like 12 frames. Yeah, I remember that being one of the first... obviously, I grew up with the Cesar Romero Batman. My dad loved that. And we were watching the movie. The
Cesar Romero
movie.
Was like my earliest. I remember like... I can remember watching that the most.
Well, just like, Catwoman is a big part of the villains in that. But I loved the dueling laughter of the Riddler, the Penguin, and Joker. and like, you know, Cesar was like,
Cesar was great.
He was so
he was
great.
A hottie IRL and then, without that clown makeup.
Yeah,
on.
No,
he was
totally.
Like a heartthrob. I was watching interviews with him the other day. He's very charming.
But like, I always love. A Joker who's the clown prince of crime. And I know like, I definitely am like the live action version that is my favorite is Heath for sure. But
he, to me, I think elevated it to something that people like considered like Nicholson untouchable. You know what I mean? Up until
point,
it was like,
yeah.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't do the Joker. Like Jack Nicholson is the Joker. And, you know, an actor not known for like getting too much. Heath was like, I find like a very understated actor when he was like not Joker. You know what I mean? Mm. Like Brokeback Mountain, Two Hands. Like he's kind of the everyday understated guy.
10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You. You know what I mean? Like his range wasn't, it wasn't about range. It was about like, I think he's like genius in acting and he was such a great actor. It was like the ability to kind of play an everyday guy that didn't elevate too far or emote that far. Whereas this role, I think everyone was so surprised at Heath.
Just the way, like, when I think of that character, I think of the way that his Joker licked his lips.
Oh, like that tick.
Yeah, yeah. In between talking, like whenever he would, you see him like kind of like.
And you would do this, like you've got those scars and you're like, man, you'd fucking do the same thing. Like you're just licking your...
That's all I can think about when I think about his Joker.
It's an amazing betrayal. Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It sure fizzes up in your mouth.
I demanded Angus give me Japanese candy.
Which I didn't even know I had.
You have an entire bag. Like lollies don't last very long in my house.
I love that you know. You're like, hey, what is it? I'm like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, where's your secret stash, bro? I need a fix.
Where's that secret stash, Silent Bob? Snoochie Boot. I gave you some.
But what are these? What are these guys?
Ramune. Like
ramen is like that weird lemonade that you get in Japan where you've got to.
Do you know it's called ramen? It's like the marble. This isn't being racist. It's how like Japanese people thought lemonade was.
Ah, right.
So it's like ramen, and you pop in the ball, you know, the one in the drink, and then it carbonates it.
Yep.
It's like the original SodaStream. But yeah, it has like a really. You can see that it has like it wants to be lemonade, but it has these other flavors going on.
Yep.
This sounds vague, but it tastes blue compared to lemonade. Yeah, very much so. Like.
And so, yellow. Yeah, we have some ramen lollies. They're great.
They fizz in your mouth, damn.
Yeah, they're very good.
But yeah, Heath, to me, elevated and like solidified, like, oh, you can... And obviously, like, Mark Hamill did the same thing, but more so Heath, to the point, you know, it was recognized by the goddamn freaking Academy. And I don't mean the Police Academy. I'm sure they had a say. But that was, to me, where you could be like... That really solidified for me that you can do different takes on that and have, like, very worthy additions and that nothing will always have to be... a pale imitation, that you could actually present something completely different, but it's still identifiable as the same character. But then Jared Leto came along. I was like, okay, so maybe not everyone should be doing that.
I didn't see the Tim Burton's Batman movie until I was like 11 or 12, but I had the trading cards.
Four. Is that bad that my parents took me at four?
No, it's just different.
My parents were very much like, oh, you want to see that? All right, let's go. Like they were.
No, I remember being like 10 and desperately wanting to see Jurassic Park, and my parents being like, no way.
You're kidding. I told you my story. I think I have on the pod where kids at school that day were like, I was such a like dumb kid that I can still remember the dates of movies when they came out. Like I know Phantom Menace came out here June 3rd. I know Jurassic Park was like September 3rd or maybe September 8th, 1993.
Right.
And everyone at school was teasing me that day because they were like, oh, did you know Jurassic Park's sold out until it's done at the cinemas? I'm like, what? And I was like so sad at school. But then as a surprise, because I think I was pumped about it. I think I had like a pencil case. Like I was like already G'd for it before it came out. And then when I got home, my school finished at like 3:10 and I got home at 3:30. My dad's like, quickly get in the car. I'm like, what? My mom and dad were on long service leave at the time, renovating the house. And my mom, it was before you could buy before the internet, before tickets, she'd driven to the cinemas that day and got me and my dad a ticket each for like a 4 o'clock session. She's like, get in the car, you're going to Jurassic Park. I was like, but it was sold out. And then my mom's like, no, it's not. And then like, yeah, so I was like very encouraged, which probably explains a lot about my like multiple cinema screenings and going to the cinemas like 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. From a very young age, my parents were like, go to the movies, like we'll take you right now. And like I was... That would even take me sometimes against my will. They're like, we're going to go see this movie. I was like, I might. And they're like, no, come along. And I remember like being subjected to so many films. I don't know why that came from.
Well, I remember,
I was going to the cinemas a lot at a young age.
Yeah. So I had a babysitter who every time she would come visit me, look after me, she would bring...
Would you say you want to know how I got this scar?
She could bring like trading cards. I don't know if she took them from her brother or her boyfriend, or I don't know, whatever, but she gave me the complete set of Tim Burton's Batman.
I collected those
trading cards. Mm. And so I pieced together what happened in that movie from the trading cards, because it's all still
from
the
movie.
I've
heard that before. I pieced together Star Trek Generations from its trading cards, the movie with Captain Kirk and Picard.
But it would never be like, it would never give you the full...
And it would have scenes that weren't even in the movie, because they'd shoot like production photos. Mm. And it's like, Vicky Vale goes to the mall in this scene. And you're like, man, I can't wait to watch. And you watch the movie, like, what the fuck's the mall scene with Vicky Vale?
When are they going to the mall?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just remember, even from...
There's some real Mandela effects with that, where like, I know there's a famous Star Wars one where there's like a shot in the Return of the Jedi book. And it might be like... Or it might be the New Hope book where like Luke hangs out with his friends at Toshi Station. And so many people... over the years have insisted they saw that scene in cinemas, but they're people who are like in their 40s who saw it as a kid but also have the book, and they've like Mandela'd into their mind. Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, no, I saw the Toshi Station scene. It's like, no, that was never mixed properly.
You're definitely going to have that with people that grew up with Rogue One and like watching the trailer and insisting that moments from the trailer.
Yeah, and you're like, where's Vicky Vale at the mall in Rogue One? Is that fucking Vic Vale? I'm going to reboot it and it's going to be Victor Vale. Just answer the call.
Yeah,
flip
wow.
That, flip that.
That's pretty good.
Batwoman and Victor Vale.
So when this movie was announced like 2 years ago, Joker.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke when it was announced.
Because immediately Scorsese was attached, right?
As an executive producer. Yeah. And his production designer did the production design the day after they finished, I think like, it's one way around or the other, but the production designer the following day started The Irishman or finished The Irishman and started this.
Right.
So I think he was attached for a long time. No, he was attached, but The Irishman was going over. So he had to pull back on being a producer. And he's like, I've got to do The Irishman still because I think editing... something got delayed. I was watching a chat about it, but he was attached and that's why he had to drop out because I think The Irishman's production ran over.
Joaquin Phoenix, an actor that we are both a big fan of.
I'd say one of the best one of the best working actors in the world.
He was attached immediately.
Well, it was written for him.
That's right.
And if he wasn't going to do it, so they say, this movie was not going to happen. It was written with him in mind.
And I remember he was attached to he wasn't attached to, but he was like one of the early rumored.
Well, he was Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, exactly.
Which he didn't want to do sequels. He didn't want to be a part of in a cinematic universe.
Right.
So he declined. And I think Marvel's approached him so many times.
Yeah, right.
Post Strange onwards. I think he was he's like one of the guys you want. You know
of
what
course,
I mean?
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a dartboard. Where they're just like, there's still like five actors.
Leo, Brad.
Totally. Yeah, like 100%.
Meryl.
Wouldn't she be gonna...
She'd be a great Victor Vale.
Great Professor X. Did you get chills?
Definitely. but doing the same voice as Patrick Stewart. Like imagine Meryl Streep doing Patrick Stewart's voice.
And bald, but playing a guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
drag.
I love it.
That'd
great.
Be sick.
Yeah, I'm into that. All right, that's who I want for.
The mind powers has convinced everyone around him. that it's a guy. Meryl. It's really Meryl's like winking at the audience, just like I'm going to the men's room, and like only the audience know what's going on.
What about Meryl Streep as Beast?
I'd like that.
But Kelsey Grammer's Beast, same face.
I want Kelsey Grammer playing Beast, but then Meryl Streep when Hank can change between the two.
Oh right, yeah. So and there's actually neither of them are blue.
Neither of them are blue.
She just changes from Meryl Streep.
It's a one man stage play.
Meryl Streep into Kelsey Grammer.
It's a two man stage play.
Great.
It's a 4-hour expose on Hank McCoy, and it's just Meryl and Kelsey, and they're taped to each other with duct tape. And when one more, they just turn around and carry the other on their back.
So yeah, Joaquin Phoenix attached to this movie. It was written for him, as Angus said. The big I was like, oh, okay, maybe this could be immediately they were like, it's set in the past, it's not attached to any of the other DC projects happening right now.
And this was hot off the heels of, I believe, Justice League tanking.
Yep.
Critically.
Yep.
Like Ben Affleck being denied to play Batman further, being denied. Remember at one point he was shooting a movie and there was a death stroke.
He was going to star in a movie that he wrote and directed.
Which he's not doing three of those things anymore. Damn. And this is also hot off the heels of Suicide Squad tanking, I think 24, 23 on Rotten Tomatoes. And just being besides a very vocal minority fan base, a hated film by most people who enjoy cinema.
This is also in the midst of I feel like every week Warner Brothers would announce a new...
The Flash movie's happening and it's by the guys who did Spider-Man.
There's a Birds of Prey movie happening. There's Suicide Squad 2 movie coming. Yeah. The Landon Core. There's Black Adam is getting a movie.
Oh, that's right.
At
one point I think there was going to be a Black Adam movie before Shazam.
Yeah.
I remember. It was just every week there was a new rumor. Ben Affleck's doing three Batman movies. It was fucking bonkers.
So I just this just for me, to begin with, I was like, there's no way this is going to be exist.
Do you know what this sounded like to me? This sounded like, just so from that get-go of top level information we had a Martin Scorsese produced film by the director of the Hangover trilogy starring Joaquin Phoenix playing a 1980s version of the Joker. It reminded me of, you seen Trainwreck?
Yeah.
You know when they go to the movies and there's fake trailers and you see the serious drama about Harry Potter walking dogs?
Yeah.
And you're like, I would love to watch that movie, yeah, but as if that would ever exist. Like, it's too good. Not too good, but you're like, that combination of things isn't like, that would never happen in real life. Like, Joaquin Phoenix playing a joke. No, that's not.
Yeah,
and like, it reminded me of, or like a movie you see, again, another Judd Apatow film, like Funny People, like those fake snippets of movies where you're like, oh, they got Joaquin Phoenix for a minute to pretend to be the Joker in a background scene of a...
Oh, the best moment in Funny People is...
his movie trailers, like where he's the baby. Sandler's,
yeah, the baby one. I love that movie. I would love to watch that shit movie.
Dude, it's a bizarre Netflix hasn't made any of those.
Yeah, like, totally, instead of these films. Other ones. Yeah.
But it reminded me of a film like that, like a film that was designed not as a punchline, but like as a, oh yeah, this would never happen, so we're doing it for 30 seconds in a movie because why would this exist? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
just
totally.
Especially in that like snowball of every DC project that was getting announced at once.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I was kind of like, there's no way this is going to exist.
Oh,
and
I had no
if
hopes.
If it does exist.
Because remember at that point, they were like, there's going to also, not only is this movie happening, but there's going to be a Birds of Prey movie, or like a Harley Quinn movie.
There was and Mad a Jared Leto movie. Yeah.
And a Suicide Squad 2 and like a Mad Love. Like there was like 2 to 4... separate Joker films getting made, and it was just like, no, they're not, none of those are happening. Our next door neighbors, they're the fucking kids.
Oh right, sound like someone's,
it's been like they've been like yelling for the last day.
Wow,
is there a sport thing on? They're like real nerds.
These kids are, Fortnite went down,
seriously,
they banned Fortnite in Australia and kids are just running wild in the
streets.
I
fucking wish. Fortnite's not big anymore, is it?
I don't really see anyone.
I really like
busting
seeing my Twitter feed being like full of like people who I didn't think were gamers streaming themselves playing it.
Right.
And it was just like, we're on Fortnite. And it's just like, oh.
Where are we dropping?
Yeah. And now like, no
I've
one
still never played Fortnite.
Don't. That's cool. Don't play it.
It's why you do the podcast with me.
Yeah. I played it for like a day to try. And I was just terrible at it.
Right. That's why I'm considering quitting the podcast.
It's a game I don't think that you would get addicted with.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, Joaquin Phoenix, in preparation for the Joker, played Fortnite nonstop.
Apparently he played it. On two consoles at once.
Yeah, and didn't sleep for 3 days.
He went to see both the Hunter.
No, he played PUBG on one in his left hand and Fortnite on the right.
No, he played PUBG in Fortnite.
Oh wow,
which is truly, truly twisted.
His character in Fortnite found
was in PUBG.
Found a PlayStation.
It was crazy
and was playing PUBG.
It was crazy shit.
He's the best player in the world, and the best actor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think the Todd Phillips attachment, like I know that comedy directors can do good dramas, like, you know, and vice versa. Obviously, this Scorsese connection, like, you know, there's elements of comedy in all of his movies.
It just didn't seem real to me from the get-go. I was just like, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, totally.
And then we saw that, like, makeup test this year. Remember?
Yeah.
Where he's, like, just walk in as Arthur's standing there and there's, like, projections going on his face.
That's right.
And then it ends with him, while, like, a 60s turtle song or something plays.
There's a lot of just...
And you're like, oh, I guess this is happening. And I remember that just seeing that and you're like, oh... They're actually making this movie.
And then, yeah, more cast announcements. Daisy Beats, Brian, Tyree Hill, Mark Maron.
Bobby
and
D. Then,
and Robert De Niro, like, all attached as well. And I was
Robert,
like, oh, shit, this is
Robert, are you talking to me, De Niro?
That's right.
The Irishman.
The cab driver.
Cab driver, the Irishman, the fucker himself. Big fuck man.
Raging cow.
Nope.
Nope.
Very angry bull.
Angry bull.
Angry Birds too. It's weird he's not in an Angry Birds movie. You could see him being like a tough guy bird.
Has he done an animated series?
I don't know if he does. Yeah, he probably
has.
Is he
in a DreamWorks character?
I dare say he's been in Over the Hedge. I don't know.
Was he a character in Shark Tale?
Oh, I think he might be. Yeah, he is. I can see because it was when they tried to make him look like one of the sharks. You know how they were big on like making the actors?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What are you Googling?
Shark Tale.
De Niro.
Cast.
Animated?
Yep, he plays Don Edward Lino, a great white shark.
Oh, God.
Get this, and a leader of a mob. He's a leader of gangster sharks.
He was also...
James Gandolfini was set to voice the character, but had to drop out.
Damn. He was also in Arthur and the Invisibles, whatever that is.
Right. Robert De Niro.
That'd be funny if The Irishman is actually a, like, Illumination Pictures animated 3D
He's
movie.
Actually in Spies in Disguise. he played Aries.
Oh my God. That's the image for the episode this week. Fuck. Robert
it's literally
De Niro
them, it looks like an anamorph. Like they've just merged Robert. It's like face mash or something.
That's
so hot.
We should do a commentary for Shark Tale. Oh my God.
Hey, I'm
great.
Swimming in the water here.
Yes. I bet you, he says, like...
Look, he's even got, like, the mole on his face. He's so... sharks don't look like
you
that.
You swimming to me?
Man, this is DreamWorks. Of course, it's only allusions to other films.
I think Scott Aukerman is one of the writers of that movie. Like, the comedy Bang Bang guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's that funny.
No, he's funny.
He's okay. He's very hit or miss. He just screams.
I think I read about this in a newsletter recently.
He just yells. No, he was on a podcast I like, and he was a guest... But he kept doing things that he would do in Comedy Bang Bang and start just saying like, ding dong. And they're like, oh, okay. Anyway, we just want to talk about it. And he's like, dang, dang. And it's like, that's really annoying. And it was like very annoying. And I felt for the host who was trying to be real. It was Ezra Koenig.
Oh, right.
Because they were on the REM podcast as guests.
Oh, okay, sure.
And then they had
they returned
them on.
The favor.
But they were acting as if it was like funny Comedy Bang Bang stuff where you like... rewind what you just said and say, and it was like really cringe
theater sports shit.
Yeah, and
yeah,
like
I haven't listened to that,
and no one was involved with it, and like Ezra's co-host probably has like never listened to Comedy Bang Bang. It was just like he's like a really great guy and very funny in his own right and like a musician and stuff, and he was just like not having a bar of that, like, oh, I'm in a elevator it's getting hot in here type of. It was like, yeah, he's fine when he's in his own realm, but kind of like
he wrote some good Mr. Show sketches.
It was like 3D Homer in that episode when he's walking around the real world. Just stay in that 3D world, man.
Buying erotic cakes.
Yeah, he did write some good sketches for Mr. Show.
I
wonder how much those sketches stand up now. They're probably all.
I rewatch Mr. Show sometimes. I mean, especially on YouTube. All my favorite ones. There.
Yeah, my favorite's the taint.
Yeah, well, he's the star.
He's the
of
kid.
That, of
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's insane. This guy's taint.
It's insane. That's still the yeah. That's one of the best. It's like Boogie Nights for taint.
I got an 8-inch taint.
When they sit around and they're just eating popcorn.
Yeah,
and
these are like, the party days.
These are the party.
And David Cross is like, "Hey, you want to make a phone call?
Want
some water?"
And he's like, just lying back, throwing popcorn. It's one of the fun, and it's like supposed to be the like big cocaine scene in
it's
Boogie
brilliant.
Nights.
It's so
I reckon that is like the best sketch.
Yeah, because the drug scene is like he has lemon and sugar at the same time.
Yeah,
and
everyone
then crashes
crazy.
Out on a beanbag.
Probably my favorite Bob Odenkirk character ever too. He's like the principal of the school.
Yeah, I don't care if his head is in a fucking fish tank.
Started Taint magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so just like this pedophile sports teacher, right? Or principal. Watch the Taint sketch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Taint misbehaving.
Yep.
That's one of the. That's
the name
that's
of the episode,
great
right?
No, yeah, it's actually called it. It's insane. This guy's taint.
It's insane. This guy's taint. Yeah, yeah. That's like the best line. It's insane. It's damn, I want to watch that.
I know. Pause the podcast.
Ding dang.
So yeah, Robert De Niro and all the other actors that
Shark
we
Tales,
said
Robert
fucking
De Niro.
20 minutes ago, yeah. We're all attached, and it looked like this movie was actually happening. We got trailers.
All the actors that were mentioned were in the trailers. Funnily enough,
I've been so burned by DC that I didn't trust this movie.
Only thing that I had trust in was the fact that Joaquin was in it as the lead actor.
Right.
I was like, okay. He's stuck around and his standards are like incredibly high on a, like not as in like the movies he always stars in are like 10 out of 10s by any means, but he only does roles that like, he's someone who thinks about the roles and how he's going to appear. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still am shocked that he was in this.
The guy loves to act.
Guy loves to act. You give that guy a script, he's probably going to act with it. You know what I mean? He's probably going to pick a character in the script and start reading the lines and then acting.
So you saw the movie last, almost 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, it seems like because of the fucking, like, the discussion around this film.
Oh, man, it has been exhausting. Like,
well, I've just avoided it. Like, I haven't
because either side
it.
Of the discussion
they're
is
horrible.
It's just, there are people.
It's not about the movie.
There are people that are like, "This is the best movie ever. This is the best superhero movie ever made. This is one of the best."
And there are people that are like, "This is Mein Kampf."
People are like, "This is the best depiction of mental health in a movie I've ever seen." And people are like, "I'm like, are you fucking serious?"
I mean, look, I think everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Of course, obviously,
it's subjective.
And then on the other side of that, people are like,
"This should be burnt like Mein Kampf." Yeah, they're like, "This is dangerous, yeah. and it should be removed from theaters because, yeah." And I think like, it's not about the film; it's about what people have associated with this character since the Aurora shootings. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I think DC own like deserve like people. I mean, this film doesn't necessarily deserve like you know.
No,
DC do though. For yeah. their track record, for their blemishes.
I think average like, Joes don't know this is DC though.
Is average Joe a DC character?
Yeah, from New 52. It's Green Arrow. It's the Arrowverse. It's Arrowverse Joe.
Yeah.
Mighty Joe Young.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Got bought by DC.
Yeah, I mean, the discussion has been fucked. And like,
it was fucked a month before it came out, and it's gonna be fucked until people forget about it in a week when something else comes along.
I was gonna say,
along.
Until someone portrays Joker, a different actor portrays Joker.
No, it'll be everyone will be sad at like a pig who's racist next week,
right?
Or something, you know what I
racist
mean? Like,
pig,
it would just change
the beloved
it's just,
DC
it's,
character.
It's just something for people to talk about. That, like, I guarantee, like, 80% of the volume of these discussions are coming from people who have passionate opinions, but no matter which side, I haven't seen the film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, totally. So I like you know, last week you gave a quick little some quick thoughts.
What were they again? I can't remember anything.
You really liked it.
Yeah, I was during the movie. I was kind of like, I'm not sure what I think. And then maybe half an hour into it, I was like, oh, I really like this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
really like it. And to be honest, I haven't stopped thinking about it 2 weeks out.
So you.
And I have
predicted.
A huge affinity for The Dark Knight. You know how much I love The Dark Knight trilogy.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
So to see like...
Every time before we record every episode of Hey Fan...
We watch it all.
He makes me watch all three.
In 4K. Especially, well, we watched it twice last week because I just bought the 4K. They're on sale during Batman Day. That was it his 80th, 85th? But no.
Happy birthday, Batman.
Hey, Batman, if you're listening...
A lady
happy
never
birthday
tells.
From Hey Man.
Hey Man.
From one man to another. Hey, hey Batman, it's Hey Man. yeah, I got them all again on 4K. But like, to take on that role, especially after whatever you would call the Jared Leto portrayal, I had pretty little interest in seeing that character portrayed again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then this is one of those instances where for me, like a performance makes the film. It's not the script. It's not anything. Like, the performance is what made this movie for me.
This is, yeah, absolutely. It's
I realized watching it, he's in every scene, which is barely... Think about The Dark Knight for a minute.
Yeah, you're right.
And Joker's in The Dark Knight, I think, for like...
A third of it?
20... No, not even. It's like 23 minutes. 20. Right. But he looms over the film. But he's not in it. To me, what was interesting, and I'll get into this later, like, whenever we saw the Joker in any other film, most of the time... He was performing in like air quotes around Batman,
right,
and or around like a population of people who feared him. But it was interesting to see this character or like a version of the Joker in the downtime, like the Bruce Wayne scenes. which we've never seen before.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I was like quite taken aback while thinking about the film. I was like, oh, this is like, we barely see the Joker in this film. We see like Bruce Wayne. This is like a Bruce Wayne. If there was a Batman movie where like 95% of it was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, the Joker is just one of many obstacles he has to overcome by the end of the movie.
Yeah, but like it's like imagine seeing a Batman movie where like he seldom puts on the cowl, where it was mainly a Bruce Wayne film. That okay, is yeah, what sure, this yeah. reminded me yeah, of that. Right, yeah, it was like a film with a person who we've never... And we've seen Bruce Wayne so many times in... 80% of Batman movies have Bruce Wayne. Like, Batman's not in... He's barely in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they, yeah.
But it was like, for the first time, seeing a character which is so theatrical as, you know, as he is in comics, television. He's so over the top and performing. It was so weird to see that character not, like, performing.
Was he that character, though?
He's a version of that character.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like, every Joker is a... There's the Red Hood Joker. You know what I mean? Heath's Joker, you know, yeah. A lot of theories say, well, a lot of people seem to believe that like a...
At the moment in DC continuity, there are three Jokers.
Which I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Superman killed Dr. Manhattan or something. And they're just doing some wild shit.
It's going to take him 7 years to write this story, so...
So he's introduced the idea of three Jokers and not touched it again, right?
Like 4 years ago now.
And he's never touched it?
Apparently it's happening at some point.
No. Very cool. But I think, yeah, it's a version of that character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fine. No, it's a version where there's no, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I forget about this. But yeah, that was one thing that stuck with me when I saw it. I was like, okay, this is like a character who's normally done literally wearing makeup and performing in front of his adversary. We don't see that at all. Like, this is that person humanized.
So you last week, you predicted that I would not like this movie.
I thought you would. My prediction was you would viscerally hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely viscerally hated... Viscerally?
I said it right. Yeah, now you've incepted me.
I've done it.
Vasectomy.
Vasectomy.
We can both say that. Yeah.
I hated parts of it.
Sure.
I would say that maybe there was one part I loved for every part I hated.
Okay.
But I really loved some of it, and I really, really hated some of it.
So I don't think it's a perfect film by any means.
No.
But I don't think I've seen a movie recently of this scale, and I mean scale in like the amount of cinemas it's in, not the amount of money it took to make, that I've like thought about so much since leaving the cinema.
Like for me, I was like, oh, okay, you know, everyone's saying like this is the best comic book movie because it's not a comic book movie.
Well, the other thing was we heard too, like, Venice Film Festival gave like a 10-minute standing ovation and awarded it like its highest honor of a film award, which went to Roma last year.
Scorsese spent like, you know, last week saying that Marvel movies were bad and not movies. And
do you think Netflix paid him to say that because of Disney Plus?
It's inherently linked to this movie as well. Obviously,
No, I think he wasn't talking about this.
But I mean, he's involved with this one. I feel like
There's no credit for him.
Oh, really?
No.
So yeah, because of Irishman, he's just not involved at all.
No, he's not involved at all.
Oh, okay, right.
He was attached at one point and then couldn't.
Okay.
But I think he read the script and was like, "Love what you're doing, jokey."
Well, because this is like the whole movie. This is definitely a comic book movie. Like it is.
Oh, 100%.
Except it's a comic
book
movie.
It's dumb that people say it's not. What people mean when they say it's not a comic book movie is they're like, it's not part. Comic book movie has now come to mean expanded universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think in the vernacular where it's like snappy dialogue, post Guardians of the Galaxy, comic book movie, interconnected universe. I think that's what people mean. And then, of course, this is a comic book movie. I mean, the studio doesn't want to think it is. They don't put a DC logo in this movie. In fact, DC is not even mentioned until the final shot of the movie where it says, like, after the credits roll and it shows the DC logo right at the end, which is so by design.
But
was it because DC was toxic by that point and they were just like, for the general moviegoer?
I think they were really, really like making a statement like, this is not a comic book movie, you know?
Well, I think they were saying like, and I think this is good for like dummies, like they're like, this isn't a part of the Batman movie you maybe watched on a plane last week, which had Ben Affleck who fought Jared Leto. You know what I mean? Like, it is such a short amount of time. It's shorter than like the Amazing Spider-Man and Civil War reboot. You know what I mean?
It's like 2 hours and 2 minutes long.
The movie is?
Yep.
No, I mean like it's a short amount of time from the last Joker portrayal in like public.
Oh, yeah, no, it's been 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Since Jared Leto came in a sock and sent it to Margot Robbie.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, in that case. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, so like the movie... the movie is slow to start. Like, so much of that opening 15 minutes I've seen in trailers. And I know that's fine. Like, if you're going to show any parts of the movie, obviously show the early stuff in a trailer. But I knew, I feel like I knew beat for beat how the movie was going to start.
100%, me too.
When the fucking movie opens with Joaquin Phoenix applying clown makeup while crying one solitary tear that rolls down, a big black tear down his face.
A blue tear.
Fucking hell, here we go.
So from that point on, I'm like, oh man, that's awesome.
See, I know, I was like, this is a fucking this is an HSC like final movie project.
Well, so it's like a movie made for teenagers still.
Yeah, no, okay,
And it's like, to me, it's like, it's not about the plot. It's a very, the plot is pretty non-existent. It's like, it's kind of like, well, obviously we know it's like a bit of Taxi Driver, a bit of King of Comedy, and a bit of Batman lore thrown in together. But to me, it was just like, because he's in every single scene, to me, it was like not about the plot. It was, and it, they said this from the start, and it sounds corny, but it was truly a character study to me. It was like, how, what are we going to do with this character today? Like, what situations are we going to put Joaquin Phoenix in? Who's going to act his dick off? You know what I mean? And it's like, at the end point, he has to do this, and just how are we going to get there?
So I don't think this is like, it's not one of my favorite Joaquin Phoenix portrayals,
right?
About characters,
I loved it, man. I'm putting it up there with some of my favorites by him.
I love.
He just got to flex.
I loved. Let's go full spoilers off the gate. You liked the movie. I liked parts of it.
Yeah, I really liked the movie.
Really liked it.
Yeah, I would even say it might make my top five. At the
end
of the year.
Okay, right.
Man, I think it's like one of my favorite comic book movies of all time, which is something I never thought I would say. I've seen it twice now. I loved so much about it. I love the production design. It's my favorite version of Gotham I've seen.
Yes, yeah, Gotham was cool. I mean, just like...
Well, we never see that Gotham. We always see it through Bruce's newspapers or television about reports going on. And then we see it at nighttime when he's beating up people. Like, I felt it was amazing to see the bad parts of Gotham in daytime for once. Like, I've never seen that.
I just love, the trash strike.
Loved it.
Garbage truck strike.
It was New York 1970s, you know? It was just, like, horrible. On the it was like a pimple about to burst. It was bubbling... I loved that Gotham. I thought it was great. It was just so cool to see such a disgusting, hateful place that's not viewed from like an ivory tower, which it normally is to us.
Yeah, we
see it from Bruce's lens. It was just, for me, I really liked seeing that city, which, you know, it's lame as shit, but the Gotham is such a big part of Batman, like a character, like the Sex and the City.
And Gotham needs saving. Gotham is, you know, the victim that Batman needs to save.
So totally. It was just good to see
like a really gross Gotham.
It was great seeing it from like the ground, the cockroach level, which I don't think we've really seen cinematically before. We see like warehouses where bad guys are, or we see like places where bad guys hang. We don't see like the streets or a train or the bus. You know what I mean?
So yeah, Arthur Fleck, played by Joaquin Phoenix.
He's a clown for hire.
He's a clown for hire. He is working so he can cover rent for
him and his sick mother, they've both spent time in an asylum.
Yep.
We don't know why he has. He gets state-funded counseling and medication.
But the
it comes to an end.
The medication doesn't take all of his pain away, but also...
He writes a diary where he writes heinous jokes.
And also like... Draws on pornos.
Draws on porno. Classic signs.
Like, dude, you know what? The opening, like, half hour of this movie felt like a Tumic. Like,
damn.
He's a mentally handicapped.
My stepmom?
Handicapped guy who has to wash his mum.
No wonder why I liked it so much.
And fantasizes over Zazie Beetz.
Fuck, no wonder why I liked it so much. It was literally the only other bit of media I've consumed in the last 2 months. Damn. What if Joker Tumic? Damn, that's so true.
But yeah, like, you know, obviously the first, you know, the first part of this movie is, you know, really portraying like...
It's like falling down.
Arthur Fleck's life fucking sucks.
Yeah.
He fantasizes.
We find out there's like a 99.1% situation. You know what I mean? Like there's like an opulence.
Yeah. And that there are moments of that where that's handled a little clunkily, but I thought overall that was, especially when, the crescendo of the ending, which is directly tied into that, you know, like him taking a stand for the people that, you know,
but not even
get stepped over by the rich.
But not even. He's like, I don't stand for anything. Like he's been an accidental symbol. I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I have no political beliefs. Like he makes a point of saying that.
I mean, also he just says that.
Well, you can't trust the Joker. He's an and also like how much of the movie's real? I second viewing, I'm like, does any of that happen?
Well, so, all right. He has Zazie Beetz plays his neighbor who has...
Single mother.
Single mom and...
she communicates with him once in an elevator after a tough day. She says like...
Like a mime shooting herself in the head.
Because the kid's annoying her.
Yep.
And then he just gets fixated on that.
And we see a bunch of scenes throughout the movie, which is like them having a conversation after he like follows her around one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, and then she shows up to his heinous stand-up.
His stand-up. And
he's obsessed with like appearing normal. Like he goes to a stand-up night and takes notes on like how to deliver jokes and how to wear clothes and stand. And
so like my favorite moment early
on.
Oh,
and his laugh. He has a condition.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like a interesting way to handle the Joker laugh, which is like such an iconic thing. I was like, that's such a cool plot point.
Yeah. So yeah, he can't help but laugh. He has a card that he gives to people.
And it's a real illness. Explain. I was watching videos. It's like a Tourette's.
Yeah.
And people would just start maniacally laughing.
So, and that part, Joaquin's laugh was
it's haunting.
Like, really, really good.
And you see like it hurts him to laugh. Like he loses breath.
And like, the fact that he's laughing and no part of his face is enjoying
that
the
bit when he's getting fired and he just starts smiling and like, his eyes start welling up and it's just shit like that. I'm like, there's some of my favorite, any depiction of Joker moments, like just the acting.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's just, I had such a, I didn't think I was going to like this movie that much. I was on the fence and then I was so like, oh man, Joaquin Phoenix can, if it wasn't him, I'd have no interest.
So my favorite scene where I was like early on in the movie where I was like, oh, I actually really like this is, his first, when he, so Robert De Niro plays a TV show host.
Murray
something. Yeah. And he and his mother love... Are you just put on John Wick?
No, the new Apple TV just shows trailers now, like willy-nilly.
Okay. I guess it's just watching the new John Wick.
It's a trailer. It's look, if you hover over shit, it would just start playing, I think, like the top 10 movies.
Okay, right.
It'll go like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back on your TV. Yeah, it does this now.
Right. Just shows John Wick 3.
Yeah. The trailer.
That's the new update. Apple TV's just show John Wick.
No matter if you try to watch Terrace House on Netflix, you're getting the trailer for John Wick 3. If you try to play anything on Apple Arcade, you're getting the John Wick 3 trailer.
So Murray.
Yeah, what's
it called?
His name? Murray.
Whatever. Robert De Niro plays a TV show host called Murray. It's, you know, your classic kind of New York.
Well, he plays the character that Jerry Lewis played in King of Comedy.
Yeah.
Which he, yeah.
The
only character that doesn't have a name, Robert De Niro.
Arthur and his mother watch the show every night.
Yeah.
Arthur imagines himself in the studio audience.
Connecting with Murray.
He's
like a father figure that he never had.
Yeah, and it is this like first, like he starts to be laughed at by the audience. He imagines himself getting laughed at by the audience for being a bit weird.
Murray Franklin. And
living with his mother.
Yeah. And then Murray's like, no, I lived with my mother too, and you got to look after your mother sometimes. Yeah, and he's like, I'm the man of the house. And
yeah, he's like, oh, you know.
And he goes, I wish you were my son.
I'd trade it all, you know, the money and the fame for a son like you.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that scene.
And just the look on Joaquin's face, like this doting, smiling, you know, like.
Yeah, in fact, my two favorite scenes in the movie were that and then the final scene where he actually is on the TV show.
Wasn't it incredible?
Especially the entrance.
Wasn't it amazing to get a scene? I've noticed when you just like, it's a comic book movie, regardless of whether the film studio wants you to think it is or not. But like its third act isn't like a CG battle with something. It's like a guy in a chair talking to another guy on a TV show.
Yeah. I
was like, that's pretty ballsy.
Okay. If we just jump around, whatever, let's do it.
There's spoilers, obviously.
Yeah, we're full spoilers.
We haven't gone through the plot. We'll figure that out. There's not much of a plot.
But like for me,
my pill.
Every time I was really into it, it would do something that pissed me off and made me not into it. I was really, really enjoying the movie and then it was revealed that he may be Thomas Wayne's son.
I knew that was going to be a red herring.
Why the fuck are we doing this?
I knew that was going to be... I had a feeling. I was like, no, it's a red herring.
Yeah.
I was like, this. They're not doing some like Ben... Peter Parker's parents were spies. I was like, this is... And I was so glad it was.
Yeah. I mean, I still feel like even having it as a plot device was like kind of hokey.
Yeah. I can see that.
I get that Thomas Wayne just represents a rich part.
It was great seeing Thomas Wayne portrayed as a cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was refreshing. Because he's normally like this altruistic, nice guy who... Which is especially remembered
as a very good doctor.
Yeah, it was great to see him as basically just like a pompous shit.
And even like towards the end, like I was won over so much by that fun, that you know, that the scene in the TV studio where he ends up shooting Murray.
But yeah, his entrance is amazing.
Oh my god, I loved that. The whole time there was so much fucking dancing in this movie.
Man, my favorite scene in the movie. You didn't like the dancing?
It was so shitty.
Like, I loved that. You know, I thought it was beautiful. My favorite scene is after he shoots those Wall Street guys,
and then he just starts dancing. No, I hate that. Was like
I love that. See, I thought that was gorgeous. No, I'm like that was beautiful. That to me is my favorite scene.
No, so for me that just felt like an HSC film. HSC is like year 12, like, you know, high school.
I love that
high school film.
I thought I don't know, there was something. I didn't care what movie I was watching. I don't care what it was in. I just really was taken by what was happening.
I had problems with the score as well. Like,
I love the score.
It
man.
Was like either like it would. I know it was intentional, but it would jump from like a very, you know, recognizable song from the 60s, be it a rock song or like a...
I didn't like the Gary Glitter cut to then like...
And then it would just be this fucking cacophony of gloomy cellos.
I thought it should have been one or the other in those scenes.
Yeah.
I found that jarring.
I mean, cello is here we go, everybody. It's a stern, somber instrument because this is a very serious movie.
I thought the score was great. I think it's like one of the strongest things about it.
I'd read a lot of comments about it. Maybe my expectations were
stunning. And apparently it was, it was written after reading the script and they were playing it on set.
Right.
So people could react to it in time.
God, that would fucking suck.
As what? Just an actor or a director?
Just having those maybe cellos around you at all times.
I think it helped.
I think I might hate cellos.
I think you're not an actor. I think you wouldn't know. I think you're not a director or an actor, but maybe it helped them. I don't know. Because that dance scene was improvised. Apparently he just was reading. He ran into the bathroom originally and then like the scene ended, but then the music was playing and like Joaquin just started dancing and they were like sending the one camera guy and like do this handheld and just shot it in like one go. Because he was like practicing
the cameras.
I love that scene. I thought that scene was just, I love that. My other favorite scene is when he just like empties the fridge and gets in it.
That was great.
I was like, that's insane. It's like, I would never
that
see
was
that
some
in
damaged
it.
Shit.
Yeah. My favorite two things were the acting and the score.
See, I'm glad we're disagreeing on this.
I knew we would disagree.
I just, for me, like those moments, especially like, yeah, like the dance moments.
I love those, man. It was the only time he was happy.
I just felt like...
See, the way to me was like he was so hunched and upset the whole movie and downtrodden. But when he committed these like heinous crimes, he was like this beautiful ballerina.
Well, I liked it when he was trying to dance with his mum. I thought that was a nice moment. But when he was like dancing by himself...
No, because it was like this beautiful... What I love, he's like by himself and he's like glowing. He's shining. He's like, I finally found my purpose. And it's like, otherwise he's like... hunched, shuffling around, falling over, getting hit by cars, whatever, getting beat up by kids. It's like Grand Theft. He's basically an NPC in a Grand Theft Auto game. Like he's just like fucked up. And then to see him become this like beautiful creature, not beautiful obviously, but like move with this grace and stuff, which is so to me like unassociated with what we've seen of that character. I was like, oh, it's him like being happy for once in his life.
No, and that's the Joker dances in all of his. Like in all the portrayals of Joker,
but this
like
was not like a jig. This was like a ballet.
Bro,
tai chi.
Jack Nicholson does a lot more than a jig in. That's like one
the
of
bad dance.
The bad dance.
Yeah, yeah. When
rules.
He's that rules when he's going through. But this is like its own
thing. He definitely had like little dancey little moments.
No, he didn't dance.
Didn't.
No, he didn't dance. He like
he goes,
snarled at people.
He goes, and here we go, and then he did the Macarena.
I think he didn't dance. I think that's a
he did. He watched me nay nay.
He did the Fortnite dance.
That's right.
He invented the Fortnite dance. But that's for the director's cut. Chris Nolan burned that, but unfortunately IMAX film is so big.
Well, Angus, we barely scratched the surface of this movie. Obviously, I want to talk about, especially I want to talk about at length about the ending and particularly the thing that made me like, not angry. Like, I wasn't angry watching this movie. I was just like the dumbest decision in my opinion.
I think it's a decision where I was furious at as well.
Okay, well, I'm looking
but
forward to
also,
about
but
that
then it might be a decision that I also was like, no, I understand why that was put in, why that scene is in there.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about the rest of the movie with you.
I want to talk about things that you liked about it. I want to talk about things that I didn't like about it.
I want to rank all Jokers.
Yes, not all Jokers. I don't know if I can rank all, but I definitely can go through. I can probably get my... I know in my number one.
You can make some tiers. How about that?
Yeah, we'll do S rank.
Yep. Okay.
Down cool. to Lido rank,
okay.
L rank,
okay,
cum rank. Yeah.
Cum rank. Yeah. Rank cum.
And then also like what we want to see, if we want to see this Joker again in anything else.
And how you would make it work.
Yeah.
And then I also think I may be the Joker.
Why is that?
We'll find out.
Oh, you pranked me. Yeah, there's a very Joker-esque. Oh,
I have a gift as well, actually. I actually have like something from my past that was very similar to this and to this movie. And this may be why I'm so critical of it.
Interesting.
So I want to talk about this
Do I know what it is?
It was my year 12 drama monologue that I wrote for when I was in my final year of high
school.
Oh,
you told me about this before, but I don't know what it was again.
And the fucking common threads, like I've just been moving house. I know somewhere is my drama, year 12 drama book.
So I burn everything when I left high school.
I found a lot of slur-filled cartoons that I drew when I was a teenager.
Damn. Crom. Didn't know
he was like my hero when I was a fucking 15 year old.
Did you just draw like big titted people with fat lips?
Yeah, I invented Tumix when I was a teenager.
Robert Crom invented Tumix. American Splendor.
I want to talk about my year 12 drama piece and it's linked. It's links to the Joker movie.
Damn.
So if you want to hear another hour of Hey Fam and hear our
you'd be mental not to.
Continue this discussion, you'd be the Joker not to.
Yeah. Riddle me this. What costs $5 a month and gives you double the content? Patreon.com/HeyFam.
That is fucking beautiful.
Batman. I'm the cancer riddler. I'm nice. I'm giving real.
Holy monthly donation, Batman.
Yeah, it helps.
$5 gets you two episodes of Hey Fam every single week.
I get my pills.
And you get to also join our Discord. There's been a lot of discussions about Joker in there.
Yeah.
Very sane, very civil discussions of Joker, which has been very cool.
Oh, I think no one's really spoken about it. I think they've been waiting for this episode.
Yeah, right. They want to know if they're...
Though some people have DM'd me.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All positives?
Yeah. Everyone's been like, oh, I really like that movie and I was kind of afraid to say it.
Seems
to be like something that is common...
I think the majority of people are going to like this. Like I'm just hyper critical of comic book shit.
See, I'm like I take off my Snoochie Boochie t-shirt and I put on my auteur cap when it comes to
film. I thought the auteur moments in this movie were weak.
Like, I mean, to me, if
like it felt
wasn't
like babies
Joaquin
first
doing this.
Yeah, no, his performance is
I would be
good.
Like I have no interest.
Yeah, sure.
But to me it's the commitment that he brought.
Look,
to this.
We're giving you extra taste. This is what the next hour is going to be like. It's going to be one for the classics, guys. And it's relatively early in the month, so you get a month's worth of
it's crazy not
of
to
being
do
able
this.
Having access to our all the bonus episodes we've already done. We do this once.
What you
in a
should
while
do is send in this up. Episode to a Tonight Show and then embarrass us.
I love it.
And then get two jokers on Rove Saturday or whatever. And we'll come on there and shoot y'all. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
head on over to patreon.com/heyfam and join us. Enjoy some extra Hey Fam, extra Joker review, and plus get access to our
community.
It'd
actually be weird if you didn't come to listen to it.
What's going on?
People going, what's this? What's everyone talking about? This is Joker movie everyone's talking about.
Usually we review hentai, so you know that's
this
something
is huge
you can enjoy
for us.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the other thing, speaking of Jokers. I've got 2 hours to decide whether to spend US$24. Sorry, Australian $24.
To continue being a Tumix man.
Reading what's essentially, I know Joseph Campbell said there was like 27 hero arcs. So Joseph Campbell, no, who's the guy
you're talking about?
Star Wars, like the 1,000 stories or whatever.
Why don't you look it up? Joseph, and tell us in PayFam.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you over on PayFam. Please consider joining us because there's a lot of great content over there that you could be listening
Joseph
to
Campbell.
Right now.
Yeah, Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell was like, there's only 27 myths in the world. There's like the young person meets the old wizard who takes you. Like he researched all religions, all cultures, and like found like common stories throughout them all. But Tumix is proof that there's only one story.
Angus and I have recently become addicted to
you have to listen to the next episode.
It's a Korean like hentai service that we got serviced on Facebook and we both joined.
Yeah, and Angus has 2 hours left of his subscription. So is he going to record, or is he just going to head to his room and leave me to record on my own while he...
No, I only read it in public.
On planes.
On planes.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you over at PayFam, unless you're crazy.
In which is it case, just me, or are people getting crazier these days?
Hated that line. Hated it. All right, see you later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.